Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and we're here with the men from our Men's Ministry Center. How are we doing, gentlemen? Good morning.
We're good.
We're good. Yep.
All right. Before we came on the air, the scripture text we selected comes from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We'll look at verses 15 through 17. It's kind of the, last week we talked about, what happens with the empty tomb, all right, and then Jesus in our lives. And here we have a little pericope about Peter with the post-resurrection of Jesus. And if I could have somebody read that, John 21, 15 through 17, we'll get started.
Sure, I'll do it. So, verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Before we really dive into this, what jumps out at you? What first comes to mind?
I think he was testing his faith.
Either that or he's hard of hearing.
Yeah. He was testing Peter's faith. To see, what he could get out of them. I mean,
uncertainty.
Yeah,
you know, he's unsure.
I think you want to bring to Peter's attention that. Kind of lost my thought there.
Well, look, if we put ourselves in Peter's position, and here it is, the resurrected Lord, and you're asking me three times. Maybe John's trying to accentuate something, but it's interesting. The question Jesus asks is, do you love me? Right? I mean, can we really follow Jesus if we don't love him? We tend to do that with a lot of things. We don't want to. We may love a certain. This is a very poor analogy, but we may love a certain sports team, right? And we can wear all the gear, go to all the games, and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that there's something about being passionate. Loving towards something, all right? We love our spouse, we love our family. That motivates it. It moves us to a certain level of commitment in our actions and our behaviors, as opposed to if we're mediocre on something, not so much, right? We can think about in our maybe positions of employment, relationships, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, the emphasis there, I think Jesus is really trying to point out that if you're going to follow me, you got to be all in, right? Because we're not really studying this to this morning, but the little pericope after that, right, is, hey, there's going to come a time, Peter, right, you're going to be led where you don't want to go. And it ends by saying, follow me anyways, really, right?
Asking him, you're going to have to help me spread that word. I mean,
and if you don't love me, then you're not going to have the commitment to really take care of the sheep.
That's right. You're going to have to take my place. I mean, go out and take my place.
Yeah, yeah. We were just studying the other night, you know, here at the Men's Ministry Center on, you know, when Jesus calls us to come follow him, he says, you know, come be with me, you know, be me.
Right.
All right. You got, somebody's got to carry on the legacy.
Yes.
All right. The challenge there. Anything else? What else jumps out at you? I guess the other thing, you know, I mean, we often say that this little story that John gives us is kind of the reinstatement of Peter, because Peter, you know, denies him after he's been arrested back during the Holy Week there a couple weeks ago. And so, you know, if I'm Peter and you're asking me three times, then I get a little nervous that somehow you doubt my level of commitment, because now in my own mind, I'm thinking, I know I denied you. Right, I think Peter's still, maybe part of this is Jesus trying to help Peter overcome his sense of failure. Right, and
he's giving forgiveness, forgiving them.
Yeah, and yeah. So how do we overcome our failures?
Well, forgiveness is a good start. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think, you know, one of the recent studies we're doing with our men at the center there is on Lazarus. And we're talking about the tombs of our lives. Those times in our lives where we fail, where we, you know, we have pain and disappointments and all these things in our lives. But it seems to be when we're trapped in that tomb with all of our sense of failures and pains and disappointments, that's precisely like in the story of Lazarus, is when Jesus shows up, right? We could talk about, to some extent, Jesus was a failure. At least they would have thought on Good Friday, right? What they thought was going to be the healing of the nations is now dead, right? But without the death, there's no rolling away the stone in the tomb with the resurrection, right? So somehow these sense of failures, that denying of Jesus for Peter, could have easily been, you know, his tomb, all right? And yet Jesus here and John is showing up, and to some degree, metaphorically rolling away the tomb or the stone from Peter's tomb of sense of failure. And calling him out. Do you love me? Come on out. Like he calls out Lazarus. He calls us all out. Right? From our sense of disappointments, failures, and pain. Because that's where we find our transformation. And so now you have this opportunity, this invitation for Peter to fully engage in his transformation.
Yeah. There's no death, there's no life. I mean, that's what I want to walk with Jesus. If you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. You know, because we all can hear this hope is good. It teaches you, it gives you a foundation, it gives you fundamentals. But until you go out there, like you said, you can read all the scriptures you want to read and do what you got to do. But until you push it aside and go live it, you know,
Experience is what I'm trying to say. You have to, you know, intellectually we can acquire all kinds of knowledge, but that doesn't mean we've ever experienced.
You know, and until you go out there and do it, like you said, you know, I mean, when I would come in this program, I was so hard at it. I didn't, because I never had somebody love me, and I was not willing to open up. I had so many boundaries, and then tombs was just, you know, all the stuff I was dealing with in my life. You know, but until I gave him control to say, hey, I love you as you are, not as you should be, and I'm here to help you with them tools, okay? And, you know, it's just like you said, post-resurrection, you know, I have to live every day that Jesus is my love. Well, it's him. Well, he's my brother. He's the one that's seen me through. You know, he's the one that's going to be there when nobody else is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said last night in the study, you're not lonely. You know, because you have him. You know, so loneliness is, I mean, I think it's an excuse. You know, don't get me wrong, I know we do, some people do, or we do set into loneliness, but we don't have to be lonely.
Yeah, we mentioned that, you know, loneliness is an emotional response, and it may be rightfully so, right? But sometimes we may feel alone, and we talked about, you know, we need to practice solitude, because really solitude isn't about aloneness, solitude is about practicing the presence of God. And when I practice the presence of God, then I realize I'm never really alone, and that can help heal my loneliness. Just for clarification from a living.
And I think we have to remember too, he loves us unconditionally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter a walk of life, who we are, what we did, whatever. Put them tunes to rest. Peace in your heart.
And that's really the question he's asking Simon in this pericope from John 21. You know, Simon, do you love me unconditionally? Right? There's And that's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants. Our unconditional love, right? Our unconditional commitment. Otherwise, how do we pass on the torch? How do we feed others, right? I think when we have that level of commitment towards Jesus, other people experience that, even sometimes when we're not trying to be intentional about it, right? It's kind of that Matthew 25, right? When I was hungry, you fed me. You know, other people see it. That old saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, you know, preach the gospel always, when necessary, use words. So if we have that level of commitment, then everything we do, right, and impacts other people, whether we're intentionally trying to impact their lives or not, we're just trying to be faithful, right, in following him. Yeah. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I just, it's along the same lines. Just, you know, I have a saying for years that, you know, if we would be perfect, but then we're human. You know, we make mistakes, and we do wrong, and sometimes we still forget that there are people that still love us, and Jesus loves us, you know, unconditionally, you know, no matter what we've done. And I think that's where it is. It's that you forget that you're loved. You know, what's going to happen to me? Now I made a mistake. Now I done something wrong. You know, what's the repercussions? And is anybody going to like me anymore?
Right.
I think that is a huge, huge thing that sticks in your head. You just, it's hard to like go of that and say, no matter what, Jesus loves me. And no matter what, there's somebody that loves
me. Yeah.
It's just hard letting go of that because you're in the moment and you just, in, like you say, the denial thing, it's just human nature. You know, that's what I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just hard to get out of that.
It is. It is. You know, in our Lazarus study, we talked about, you know, when they roll away the stone, and Jesus calls him out by name, right? So the voice of love calls us by name. You know, Lazarus, come out. And we have to learn to be disciplined in hearing that voice as often as we can. Right? So we need to practice some of those spiritual disciplines. Because without it, we can easily succumb to what we talked about being the greatest trap in our spiritual walk, and that's self-rejection. Right? No, Lord, I know you love me, but, you know, God, I don't need to love myself after everything I've done, right? And we get caught in our, you know, between our own ears, and rather than listening to that one voice and moving it, you know, 16 inches from my brain to my heart to allow for transformation to take place. And that's imperative that we cling to that voice, even when we don't feel it, right? It's one of those moments, Lord, God, I don't think you're hearing my prayers, but I'm going to continue to pray anyways. right? Therefore, we're being transparent about what we're going through, but it's that type of level of commitment that Jesus is kind of looking from all of us as he was looking for Peter. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate all of your insights and your sharing this morning on this edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.